From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. We're starting up a new year of Intersection with a new team of producers and reporters. Over the next few months, we'll talk with local legislators, explore zoning in downtown Columbia, and look at education funding in Missouri, among many other topics. But today, we're starting off with a show full of stories produced by students in Mizzou's new digital storytelling major. I taught a class last year on audio storytelling, and I was so impressed with some of the stories students put together that I wanted to share them with you. First, we'll hear from Nora Thiemann, who profiled her friend through sound. I talked with Nora about how strange it can be to sit down and interview a close friend.
You profiled a friend of yours who I thought was really interesting because he also came to school with this sort of career path. Did he want to be a doctor?
Yeah, he was pre-med.
He was pre-med. And then he went toward music. So he also had this sort of more traditional to more creative arc. Mm-hmm. How was it to try to get inside the head of a friend of yours?
I was very lucky. I was trying to think of who I could interview, and I was trying to think of sound-wise, because if I was doing video, I probably would have done one of my other friends who's, like, some type of science major and made her do an experiment or something, but I was thinking with sound, and I was like, well, Jake plays a million instruments, like, maybe I could, and I had just, like, this one vision of, like, him playing all the instruments just overlapping each other. I'm like, maybe I'll just interview him and do something like that. But I was very fortunate. He's, like, my best guy friend here, so I'm very comfortable talking with him, so I thought interviewing would be a lot easier on me and him. Mm-hmm. If it was just like, it was a bit awkward when I put on all the equipment and I was like, okay. And I just asked, I was like, just talk about your day. And he was like, what do I say? I'm like, I'm not recording right now. I'm like, just testing the levels. Like, it's okay. I think just helping him get over the little hump of this is a recording. Someone's putting a microphone to my face, instantly nervous. I think when he started to play his instruments, he got way more relaxed because he was way focused on this and he wasn't looking at my microphone or worried about that.
Yeah. Do you think that doing that story together sort of changed your relationship?
Not necessarily. Like, I think I just gained more respect for what he does because we kind of poke fun of him a bit because he's in the marching band. So, like, it's kind of band geek a little bit. But, like, I'm also a geek, so, like, it's kind of respectful in that sense. But I think, yeah, I think I just learned a better understanding of what he actually does.
And is there anything else you would want people to know about either of the stories that we talked about or your experience?
Now that I've just done so much of the, like, editing side of sound, I'm now thinking of, like, how long did this actually take them? Like, a podcast, maybe 10 minutes, but, like, they may have recorded for hours, or, like, my piece was 2 minutes and I recorded for 6 hours. So I'm kind of like, how long did that take them? And just kind of know, like, audio may sound very quick and easy, but it's super long and it's a lot of work. I think that's just what I would leave it with.
Here's Nora's audio essay.
I've got Hazel. And then we got, this one is Sterling. Sterling for Sterling Silver, Hazel Brown. And then the trumpet I hate so much I didn't name it. And then the clarinet is Clarence.
Jacob Todd Hiley is a sophomore at Mizzou. He's a secondary music education major. He goes to classes every day, along with band practice and teaching. And every day, music follows him everywhere. Jake plays the marching baritone in Mizzou Marching, but he also plays many other instruments. He plays the euphonium, clarinet, ukulele, percussion, tuba, piano, trumpet, trombone, and bugle. He is also learning to play the cello, flute, saxophone, and French horn. Music follows him everywhere and is a huge part of his life and has been for a long time.
I've been playing music for quite a while, since like fourth grade is when I started like unofficially playing it. Like, I picked up a horn and kind of messed around with it a little bit, but then fifth grade is when I actually started being able to like read music, and just from there on is when like I just kept learning more and more.
Music is the driving force of many, and for Jake Hiley, it's his whole future.
My plan with my major is to get an education degree in music so I can be a director of a high school band. And then from then on, I don't know if I want to become a principal at some point or go into college and become like a assistant band director and possibly like an actual band director of a big college. That's my dream goal, maybe, but. So what made me change to music major from pre-med was I was just sitting in my anatomy and physiology class, and I was just bored to death, and I didn't like anything that was going on. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for all my band classes later. And then I was like, this is college, not high school anymore. I can choose what I get to take and what I get to do. And so then I left that class, went and talked to my academic advisor and just said I wanted to switch, and then switched to music ed. That's how that went.
While music is Jake's passion, sometimes it can be a bit frustrating.
Being a music major, you don't have free time, so I couldn't honestly tell you what I do. If you have free time, you just replace it with practicing, so.
Duh, that's not it. Oh, it's right there. It was right there.
But despite the hectic schedule and complications it may bring, Jake loves music. Whether it's an instrument he loves to hate, or time spent with his friends doing something he loves.
You're good.
That story was produced by MU student Nora Thiemann. Next up, a young girl and a tornado. Autumn Golston produced this story about a tornado that came very, very close to her school. I love the way Autumn committed to creating and recording sounds for this story, and we look at how she did that. We also talk about how much people tend to dislike listening to our own voices. That's something I completely identify with as somebody who's been laughed at for having a pretty low voice for a woman. So, Autumn, your story is about a tornado that you lived through when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
When we started talking about the idea of an audio essay, why did that come to your mind? Why did you choose that topic?
I think it was mostly based on the fact that we had to interview someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who can I interview for this? I was really nervous. It was the first project. I was, like, embarrassed to maybe ask my friends to do something. And I was like, who can I interview that's definitely not going to judge me? And I was like, my mom. Okay, well, now what are we going to talk about? And then I had to think about the things like what had the most sound, what could be written about in that kind of way. And I was like, a lot of tornadoes in Tennessee. So I have multiple tornado stories. It's just that one was probably the one that stuck out the most to me.
It's funny because in that first round of stories, a lot of people interviewed their parents, which,
yeah,
I guess is probably because, you know, sometimes your parents are just there and ready to go along with your ideas.
Yeah.
But I feel like the parent interviews were so good because they provide, I don't know, a lot of perspective and a lot of emotion. You know,
yeah,
you can hear like how scared your mom was and she's sort of reliving this moment. What did she sort of think about being interviewed by you?
Oh, she hated it.
Did she?
She hated it. The moment I said, you know, hey, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to interview, she was like, okay. And I'm like, and I have this recorder. It's going to be your voice. And she was like, ew, because she hates the sound of her own voice. We're pretty much similar. Like, the first recording, we both were kind of just like, yeah. And, I mean, she hasn't listened to the final project at all. She doesn't want to listen
really?
To it. Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it at all. And when I told her I was like, I'm doing this, she was like, okay, well, good thing I don't know anyone in Mid-Missouri who's going to listen to this because I don't want them to hear my voice on the radio.
I sometimes think that one of the things that makes people dislike the sound of our own voices is that it's sort of like hearing yourself as a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you this sort of bizarrely uncomfortable perspective on yourself in
yeah.
a way.
I think it's kind of like seeing yourself on film. It's like, is that how I look? And then you're like, is that how I sound to other people?
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, people actually sit around and listen to me talk. Like, how do they do it?
when you came into the class, I would say that you were sort of a more quiet student, a little shy, but then you started to express yourself more and more. How did that happen for you?
I think I just got more comfortable. It's like it takes me a while to get comfortable around new people. So like, for one, I'm an Italian minor, so there's like five people in my class. So at the beginning of the semester, walking into Italian class, I've been with these people for, you know, three or four semesters at this point. I'm very comfortable with them. But walking into a class with new people, it's like, I don't know how we're going to interact. I don't know if we're going to get along, if people are going to, like, judge. I don't see myself as too much of a creative type, and I know everyone in there is kind of really creative as digital storytelling majors, and I'm like, am I going to be able to keep up with these kids? And, I mean, as the semester goes on, you get more comfortable. You learn that people aren't there to judge you. They're there to help, and, I mean, that really helped out.
And so as an Italian minor and somebody who doesn't think of herself as a creative type, how did you end up in a class that's so sort of specifically creative?
I mean, I want to do creative things. I really do. It's just it takes me a while to come up with ideas. It takes me a while to actually put those ideas into action. And I mean, I think that I wanted a class that was going to push me into the more creative type of things that I wanted to do.
And now, do you think of yourself as a more creative person?
Just a little. I think the brainstorming process has gotten easier than it was before. And, I mean, now I feel like I have more technical skills than I did when I walked into the classroom. So, you know, I think that I could do some things if I wanted to.
I think you could, too. I mean, I definitely think of you as a creative person. And I think of you also because you had a real commitment to sort of going out there and getting into this more absurd parts of creating sound, even before we started talking in class about doing that. So in the story that we'll listen to, you know, you're breaking twigs and you're out there recording the tornado siren and everything. I mean, things that make you look, if somebody drives by and sees you doing this,
crazy,
kind of weird, right? But you just committed to it.
Yeah, the breaking sticks. So I'm out on this golf course while people are trying to golf, just like breaking sticks. I'm like, don't mind me. I just have me and my recorder breaking sticks in on this golf course, and people are just driving by like, what's going on? So, yeah, I mean, but I didn't feel like real recording like the tornado siren, because on campus I feel like people just don't mind things that happen on this campus. Like if they see someone with a recorder just holding it up in the air, they're like, yeah, I mean, that's normal on this kind of campus. So,
do you think about your future career and how creativity might be part of that?
Yeah, actually, I'm taking digital production next semester, which is going to have, like, video components to it. And, like, I'm also doing an internship next semester. And I was like, I could make, like, marketing. I can go into marketing with the type of tools I'm learning to help promote, like, the companies I'm going to be working with and stuff like that. So I've tried to figure out how I can work in that creative aspect into what I'm going to be doing, just so that I don't, like, go crazy or anything, but
here's Autumn's story.
It had been raining for about 3 days straight at this point in time, but because we lived right on the edge of Tornado Alley, we were so used to the crazy weather patterns. So my day went along as planned. I got on the bus and I went to school. It was as normal as it could be, at least until the lights went out. No one panicked at first. We were in a pretty old school that hadn't been remodeled in about 50 years, so we were used to having electrical problems during bad weather. To us, lights out just meant free time. But then the tornado sirens turned on. I could feel a shift in the energy in the room. Students started to kind of shuffle their things around anxiously as the teacher quickly attempted to move us out into the hallway. Typical tornado drill procedure. In this new spot next to the outside doors, we could hear so much more of the damage being done outside. The wind was whipping, rattling the windows. The thunder was a continuous roar. Tree branches were flying past. Through the little window at the top of the door, all I saw was darkness. Teachers and administrators were running up and down the halls, counting heads and making sure everyone was in their proper positions. I could hear a few kids down at the end of the hallway crying, asking if they can call their parents to come get them. That idea was quickly shut down by the teachers. No one was leaving this hallway anytime soon, and definitely not before they were sure it was safe outside. Everyone was just panicking around me. You know, like, what were you doing and how were you feeling at this time?
It scared me. For one, the fact that it came so close to your school with you and your brother there, and nobody could confirm to me that y'all were where y'all were supposed to be and that y'all were okay. Because when the storm started, I had actually called the school and told them I was coming to pick y'all up. tried to beat the tornado up there, which by the time we got there, the tornado had already come through.
Suddenly, all of the commotion outside stopped, and there was just silence. You know, in that moment, I remembered everything I had heard about being in and out of a storm. While it was the quietest it had been all day, it was also the tensest, because we knew that the storm was at its deadliest peak. But in that moment, I felt peace. It's crazy, because I had never been so close to destruction before, and neither had my classmates. I mean, there were probably about 3 or 4 prayer circles happening around me while I just stared at the wall. But I didn't feel the need to pray with them. I felt safe. I don't know. Maybe it's because I knew I had done all I could in this situation. There was nothing left to do but face it head on. After the storm officially passed, my parents came to get me. They told us in the car on the way home that the tornado's path came up the street, circled around the back of the school, and continued on its way. Later that week, I finally got to see the path of damage for myself. The sights of buildings and homes in the area literally reduced to piles of brick, rubble, and trash, while the school stood virtually untouched was almost impossible to comprehend. Do you remember any of the damage from that day? Do you remember what you saw?
We had homes in Goodlettsville around our church that were completely leveled out. They found your great aunt in a bathtub with the house collapsed around her and the bathtub upside down on her. She was 84 at the time. She wasn't hurt. The bathtub actually protected her, but her whole house was leveled.
Whatever happened that day was nothing short of a miracle. I don't know if it was just pure luck of nature's unpredictability, but it gave me a lifelong lesson of always keeping hope. Situations will always come up where everything seems to be pointing towards your end, but you just have to learn how to let go of all those worries, because most of the time it's not even close to being over for you.
This is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM, and today we're listening to audio essays produced by MU students. That was student Autumn Golston's story about living through a tornado as a young girl. Daniel Litwin is a student who is involved in so many classes and activities, it makes my head spin just thinking about it. He's part of an a cappella group, and he produced a story about trying out for that group. I talked with Daniel, who studies TV journalism, about taking away the images and working with sound.
With audio, you have only, you know, one of the senses activated, and so I don't know, you can like hone in more on what you're hearing. I don't know. That's what I like about audio.
Yeah, I feel like when you are presented with visuals, you're being more completely presented with other people's visions. You know, the image is before you and the sound is before you. Mm-hmm. But when you listen to audio or when you read, you're being forced to engage more inside your head and
right.
create that world inside your head. It just seems, like you said, it's more intensive, and in a way it's more intimate to me.
Yeah, agreed. I guess that's why, you know, most people always say, oh, I like the book better than the movie, right? Because, you know, typically when you read the book, you get to take words in differently, you get to imagine things differently, and everyone has a personalized experience. And I think audio is that nice balance between, you know, completely imagining everything and being presented everything. So you get some sort of stimulation, but then you're left – there's a lot of gray area to sort of imagine things and interpret things how you want. And, yeah, it's soothing, calming. You know what I mean? Something about audio. Yeah. NPR.
You know? Yes.
But that's what everyone thinks. But.
Sort of like when you've read the book and then you see the movie, or you – it's like when you have heard somebody on the radio and then you see them in person. You're like, what?
Right, exactly.
I can't even believe that you exist in this way.
Exactly. Or so many times I've heard a voice of someone on something and I see them, you know, as a picture of them online. It's like, that doesn't look anything like what I imagine this person to look like.
Yeah. I liked it better when you lived in my head.
Exactly. Same. Yeah.
Your story is about auditioning for an a cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about sort of being prepared but stressed out, and then not to ruin the end, but you ultimately make it into the story. How did you – into the group. How did you choose this story for your first assignment?
I think I had just come out of auditions from the group, so it was fresh on my mind. I was, you know, in the stress of it all, and I was thinking about, oh, who are we going to take for the group? What are we going to do? It was a tough process, and it was my second time doing it as a music director. So it was fresh on my mind, and when we had the opportunity to tell a story, the first thing I thought of was my a cappella group because, first off, great sound, right? You know, mm-hmm. I can come in with a microphone, record us performing, practicing, and then I felt like I had, you know, some structure there, a story to tell for me getting in the group and then finally running through auditions myself. And then, you know, now I'm in the group, I'm on the other side of it, and it felt like it had a natural progression to it. So that's kind of why I chose it.
So the story that we'll listen to from you, what was the most challenging part of it for you?
I think the most challenging part was probably just finding the right voice to tell it in. I naturally have sort of a presentation sort of tone when I talk. I, you know, go up and down a lot, and especially when I feel like I need to present something or I'm reading something out loud, I make sure to emphasize words and just stuff like that. I think it's because I've done theater and choir and all this stuff for a long time. But I think that really played into this story well because it is about choir and performance, and it's not silly, but it has that sort of entertainment feel to it. And I think once I realized that, I tried reading through it the first few times, more monotonous and more, okay, this needs to be more radio. I don't need to put as much emotion into it. And it didn't feel fun. It didn't feel like I was telling a fun story. So I went back and I did it again, just more naturally, just me sort of reading the script and how I would inflect this part and well, this part too. And it just sort of worked well for that story. And I'm glad it did as the first one because it sort of made me more comfortable with what sort of voice should I have when I'm doing radio or audio stories. So yeah, I think that was the most challenging part, but it ended up being one of the most rewarding parts too, because now I'm comfortable with my voice on radio, which is good.
Here's Daniel's story.
One, two, three, four.
When you think of an a cappella group, your thoughts may race to pitch perfect. The projectile vomiting, the rooftop riff-offs, the heated brawls. In reality, collegiate a cappella is nowhere near as dramatic. No one is beating each other over the head with a choral trophy. But one thing the film did get right is that auditions can be very, very stressful. Going through the audition process for Mizzou Forte as a freshman shouldn't have been intimidating for me. I knew exactly what to expect, and I had made all the necessary preparations. Cough drops in my pocket, a water bottle in hand, and 1 minute of a song that showed off my vocal range. But the day of auditions, I felt like my heart had leapt into my mouth. I went through the whole day, completely spaced out, my mind wandering and my eyes anxiously staring at all the clocks in all of my classrooms. An ominous countdown. In a few hours, I'd have to step in front of the members of Mizzou Forte and impress them enough to let me be a part of their inner circle. It almost felt like joining an elite cult, but without any satanic rituals. That evening, I sat in a hallway on the second floor of Memorial Union. I had shown up a little late, out of breath after running from my residence hall on the other side of campus. I was one of the last ones on the sign-up sheet, so, of course, I had to wait my turn. I watched bright-eyed hopefuls walk past me and into the audition room. There were at least a good 40 of them. I'd try to study their faces as they walked out. Some looked ecstatic, as though they had just given the performance of their lifetime. They were smiling, but still collected. They didn't want to look too pompous. Others would walk out, obviously dejected. Maybe their voice cracked on a high note, screeching like a tire. Maybe they forgot their lyrics. I decided to stop studying their faces. It only made me more anxious. I had waited at least an hour before I heard them call my name. I grabbed my now empty water bottle and walked in.
You kind of understand that feeling, like being in there. You're just kind of like when someone walks through the door, like everyone just kind of looks at each other and you're like, raise the eyebrows. Everyone just kind of nods and they're like, all right, yeah. And like, you don't really have to say much more. Like, I just like, I don't know. You just like have this like feeling in your heart that it's just kind of like, all right, like we have a good one. I don't know. And like those people don't come through auditions that often. And you know that being on this side of it now, I feel like. So, but yeah, I know everyone just looked around and we're like, yeah.
I didn't know I had made it until a couple of days later, when I woke up to yelling and pounding on my res hall door. I checked the clock. 7 a.m.? Oh, good God, what is this noise? I hopped out of bed and cracked open the door. Immediately, I was met with smiling faces and hugs as the members of Mizzou Forte congratulated their newest member. me. I remember yelling out in joy, completely entranced and ecstatic. I had made it. And now, as the group gets ready to vet a new set of auditionees, it's hard to imagine that 2 years ago, I was one of those fresh-faced newcomers, my fate in the hands of a few fellow Mizzou students. I could have easily been one of the horror stories had I not prepared, or I could have just not auditioned. But I fought through my nervousness, and I made it into Mizzou's premier co-ed a cappella group. Forte is never as crazy or dramatic as Pitch Perfect makes a cappella seem, but don't think it's all fun and games. A cappella can be aca stressful.
This is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM, and we're listening to stories produced by MU students for a class I taught last semester in the Digital Storytelling major. I hope you enjoyed hearing them as much as I did. Thank you for joining us here on Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. And thank you to our guests, Autumn Golston, Daniel Litwin, and Nora Thiemann. This week, we welcome new producers to our show, thanks to Claire Banderas, Kelly Polacek, and Abby Ivory Gagne. If you want to listen to this show again, you can find us online at kbia.org and find Intersection under the Shows tab. You can also follow us on Facebook to stay up to date with our show. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection here on KBIA 91.3 FM.